is George White, Veal One. And George, so I want to find out a lot about you now. So could you tell me where you were born?
I was born in Runbury Road, Cambridge.
And could you tell me about your family?
Well, you see, I moved from Cambridge to Fulbourne fairly early in life. And I believe I was milking cows at 5 years old. My father was a glutton for work.
Was he a farmer?
Yeah, which wasn't always very pleasant.
No, I expect farming was very different then, wasn't it, George?
It was hard work. Yes, and all manual work mostly in those days.
Yeah. What sort of farm did your father work?
General farm, cattle, poultry, corn. I think we were the first to grow sugar beets.
Is that so?
Yeah. And I didn't care much for the job going along swinging them. Backaching job.
And you did that from the age of five, did
yes,
you?
Yes.
Would it have been a big farm, your father's?
Well, not to start off with, about 100 acres. And then we gradually built up and took over other farms. And we farmed about 700 or 800 acres when we finished.
And you started work at the age of 5 years,
did you? Sure, I was only 5 years old when he had me milking cows.
How about your education? Where did you go to school?
Well, I was very fond of reading. And I used to make it my business to read about certain things of which I wasn't very sure. And I hadn't had a very good education, but I seemed to make my way anyway. And I listened to people who were better educated than I, which made it much easier. And it's surprising the number of people who welcome you into their circle if you're trying to make your way in life. Well, then you see.
Where did you go to school, though?
Fulbourne.
Fulbourne?
Yeah.
That's in Cambridgeshire, is it?
Just the other side of Cambridge.
And what was it like at school in those days, George?
Oh, not at all bad. We had a gentleman of a school teacher named Holman, and he was a gentleman. Yeah. And he sort of, I don't know what it is that he saw in me, but he seemed to favour me a bit, and we got on very well together.
Yeah. How about when it was harvest time? Did you stay away from school to help your father?
Well, we had 6 weeks summer holiday. And we reckoned that during that 6 weeks, we could manage with what they wanted us to do on the farm. See, they wouldn't interfere with our education. And that's how it went.
How about brothers and sisters? Did you have any?
Yes, I had two sisters. And three brothers.
And where did you come? Were you the eldest?
I was the eldest of the boys. And second eldest of the family.
Tell me about your mother. She was a farmer's wife, obviously.
No, she was in service when my father met her. And I don't think there was a better cook anywhere. And then I came into the army, you see, and that was just the reverse, wasn't it? Which didn't make it very pleasant.
So now we're going on to the army, I think.
Yes.
And before the war started, you know, World War One, did you know anything about war? Had you heard about the Boer War?
Well, all I knew about wars was the history of them. See, that was mostly what I learned, but in those days, you see, such things didn't tempt us. So when the war started, I think we were out in the cricket match or something, and I said to my three pals, should we join the army? And there wasn't one of us old enough, actually, but we all went and we all got through. It was extraordinary, wasn't it?
You would have been 15 in 1914.
Yeah.
So how did you get away with it? Do you know?
I just told them I was 18.
Where did you go in order to register?
Well, we were down at near Bury St Edmunds, a little place called Stow Langtoft.
And that's where you signed on, was it?
Yes.
And were you asked questions about your age or given a medical?
No. We were just enlisted. See, in those days, everybody was so keen to be in the war and fighting that they didn't bother with us.
Is that so? You were all very keen about war?
Yeah, yeah.
What did your parents say?
Well, Dad didn't want her to go, you see. So I said, well, if you're going to let me join the army, I'll join the navy, where youths could be employed, couldn't they? So, of course, I got into the army. And I think that was one of the worst crossings I ever had, from Dover to Calais.
What happened, though, to you before you went over to France, George?
I was working on the farm.
Yes, but, you know, once you had enlisted, were you immediately in the army? Were you called up immediately?
Well, yes, we went straight away, you see.
Where did you go?
Well, Stow Langtoft, this place, it was a sort of a country house, not far from Bury St Edmunds. Well, and as things went on, we moved into Bury St Edmunds for shipment abroad, you see, because they were short of troops then.
Did you have any training?
No, because I was in hospital about 6 weeks with scarlet fever. Well, then when I came out, they said, well, you're not coming out to the battalion. I said, well, I want to. So I had a way of escaping if I'd have wanted, but I was daft enough not to want it.
How about your uniform? Had you been kitted out by then?
Well, no, it came along gradually, like it did in this war. You got certain things at certain times and certain places, and it all depended upon what was being in the supply, you see. But I don't know, it sort of went on, and we didn't bother with it. There was quite a number of us, young lads, and then we went on a firing course, and I came out with good results. My pal Ernie Mason came out as a marksman, and he got a job as a marksman in his unit. Yeah, I think they're all gone there, you see. Yeah.
And you were in the Cambridgeshire Regiment, yeah, were you, George?
Yeah. They were a territorial unit, attached, I think, to the Suffolks. We were sort of attached to the Suffolks.
So, could you tell me now about going to France? You were saying earlier, George, that you had a very rough crossing.
Don't tell me. The bloke said he wished the bloody boat would go down. I said, well, that won't do us any good.
Where did you go from? Where did you sail from?
We went from Dover to Calais. And that's in East Belgium, isn't it? Yes, right. And that's where all the fun started.
What happened to you when you arrived in Calais? Can you remember your movements?
Well, we took up stations of a position against the Germans, you see, but I don't seem to be worried much by it. I used to think, well, if I get killed, I shan't know anything about it. said and be quite all right. But
do you know what date that was when you first went up to the front?
Oh, I thought it was terrible.
Yes, would it have been in 1915?
Yes, 1915.
1915. And I think you said you were at Ypres, didn't you?
Yes.
At the first battle.
Yes, first battle of Ypres.
Yes. So could you tell me as much as you can remember about that, George?
Well, you see, we didn't bother much really with it. We went along with the times, and we went where we were ordered to, and that was about all, you see. The only thing that might have stood out in our minds a bit was if your pal got killed or something of that sort. But we went on and on and on and on, and that's how it went along.
Mm. But, you know, first of all, your experience of the trenches, you know, when you first went up.
Terrible.
What was that like going up into the front?
Shocking.
How did you get there?
Well, we used to march in those days from, there was no motor transport in those days. We used to march to our positions, and we used to get at night so that we weren't seen.
And what sort of trenches did you have?
Well,
can you remember?
Just holes dug in the ground. Well, not holes actually, but a trench dug in the ground. And that was how we went along.
And were you given, you know, did you get protection? Were you able to, were they nice deep trenches?
Well, there's a certain amount of protection, but there's also a certain amount of danger. Because if the trenches weren't well made and maintained, you could get shot in the trenches. Because there were always German soldiers waiting about to tip one off if they got a chance.
You remember your first experience of going over the top?
No, I don't think I do, dear. You see, there was so much of it mixed up together that nothing stood out, actually.
What was it like, though, going over the top? Were you given, you know, advance notice and preparation?
Well, no, not to that extent. It might be like today, and you'd get orders to say you'll be going over the top tomorrow morning. And that was all there was about it. But the Germans weren't any keener much about going over the top than we were, because it was almost certain death, you see. They got them machine guns and they fired about 600 or 700 rounds a minute, and you hadn't got much chance to dodge them. So we used to get down into the ground, but it was wet, muddy or what, you see, and they say we managed to get through. And we never used, I never did, and there's a lot of others never did. We never put our head above the trenches. Because if you did, in less than a minute, there'd be a sniper waiting for you. And I've seen many a chap shot through the head. Because the Germans were good, well-trained troops. And they could fire, they could accurately do, because they had microscopic sights, you see, so they couldn't very well miss.
How about your own weaponry? Did you have anything like that?
Yeah, we did have those sort of things, but the Germans were a bit advanced than us with those sort of things. They were a bit more modern than us. Yeah.
Did you experience any gas?
Yes, I was in the first gas attack.
At Ypres?
Yeah.
Well, what was that? Could you tell me about that, George?
Well, we weren't in the thick of it, but we were on in the tail end of it so that we could smell it. Yeah.
And how did that affect you? How did you know it was gas?
It affects the lungs. Yeah, poisoned.
Were you given a warning that there was gas?
Yes, but they couldn't do anything about it. They got no equipment to fight it, you see. So what we used to do was to wet a piece of implement and wear that across your mouth while the gas attack was on. But funnily enough, I don't know why it was, the gas attacks seemed to fall away, and there wasn't very many after that. Whether the Germans realised that they were on the wrong foot in, I can't say, or whether the prevailing winds may have been to their disadvantage. That's how it was.
And when you wet the material, was it water or did you use urine?
Urine, if you think.
Because were you told that was more effective?
Exactly, dear. Yeah. I don't think there's anything worse than gas. But it never seemed to occur to me about getting killed or anything of that sort. We just went about the job and that was that.
What was the... when you were at the First Deep Battle, what is your sort of memory of the landscape, you know, in the midst of the battle? What did it sort of look like to you when you...
Well, to tell you the truth, madam, we didn't have much time to look around and see what things were. We used to go make for one object, and if we got there, then we'd look around and try and find another object, and we'd aim for that, you see, make it in installments.
Yes, so it was mainly going over the top.
That's right.
Yes. And did you go out on raids at all, George?
Yes, we was always going out on raids.
Could you tell me about the raids? What the purpose was?
Well, the purpose of a raid was to get a prisoner and bring him back to the regiment so we could interview him and find out any information we could about the position of their troops and what strength they were, you see, so that we knew where we were and where we weren't.
And were you able to get, you know, can you remember a successful raid where you managed to get a prisoner?
Oh, yes, that was not too bad. No, because even, you see, the prisoners were quite willing to be taken prisoners because they knew they'd be better off with prisoners than they would have soldiers. Yeah. Well, the German was a good soldier. Yeah. The Froggies weren't so good.
Oh, why do you say that? Why didn't you like the French?
Well, they seemed to run away and leave us to it. I think you'll find nearly anyone who was in the First World War will tell you that the Froggies weren't all that stout.
But you seem to have admired the Germans for their...
Yes. You had to. Yeah.
But that must have been quite an experience for a 16-year-old boy, as you then were. Yes. How about your officers? Did they know that you were so young?
No, I don't think they bothered. You see, you must also remember that the officers were looking after themselves, and we were doing the same, actually. And of course, if you got a 303 bullet through your body, that was generally the end of it, you see, so you didn't know anything about it.
Yes, you must have seen quite a lot of bloodshed.
Oh, absolutely, madam.
Yeah, how did that affect you, George, as a young boy?
Well, it would be like it would affect anyone else. The shock at first was rather great, but then you got so used to it, you treated it with contempt. And then you took all the precautions you could not to get shot, that was the opportunity. I know I was up the line once, and an officer was there, and he was going to take the so-and-so. I said, "Will you excuse me, sir? I know a safer way around this." And he said, "Well, come on, let's go that way then." And that's how it went out. See, if you live long enough, you learn a little, which helps you live a little longer. Yeah. But it was a daft idea in any case, wasn't it? You know, dear hello.
Oh. So after the Battle of East, did you stay in that area?
Yes.
Were you in that area of the time?
Well, we moved a little way away, but not any distance. See, I think from there went to Armentières, which is near that area, isn't it? Only some parts of the line were better than others, you see, for being quiet and safe. But there it was, you had to take your chance.
And did you have periods of rest? You know, were you taken out of the line?
If you could scheme and get it for yourself.
Is that what you had to learn to do, to scheme?
Yes, I learned a lot of tricks that way.
So did you have periods of rest?
We did have periods of rest, yes. But then, before the period finished, you were perhaps called in for an emergency. So there wasn't a great deal of rest.
What would you have done, though, while you were in these periods of rest, George?
Well, what we'd be back in reserve. In the second or third line of trenches, you see. But then we were liable to be called on at any minute. So there wasn't a great deal of rest. The only opportunity you got to rest was if you'd made a decent bit of progress, you see, and things were settling down. Yeah. Well, I don't seem to be bothered with it, mate, somehow. I think we must have sort of got used to it and accepted it. As far as I can see, I don't know. And there was four of us youngsters went together and each of us came back. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
You were saying how you learnt to be cautious.
Yes.
And, you know, sensible. Do you think it helped you being on the land? The fact that you'd been a farmer.
I wouldn't be surprised, madam. Yes, because you see, there's certain precautions you can take if you've the knowledge, can't you? And that's often what went on. And we used to jump in shallow water and anything else to get out of the way of the bullets. I mean, there was no option to say, well, I'm not going there. But you had to go because that was a duty, you see. I wonder we stuck it actually. I don't know whether they would today, would they? I don't know. What's the name of the place, Bosca?
In Kosovo,
yes. I mean, that happened there, hasn't it? I can't understand it. Do you think it's lack of intelligence or.
Oh, it's very complex, isn't
Absolutely.
It, George?
Absolutely.
Yes. But I'm wondering, you know, when you were there at the age of 15, 16, when did they discover that you were underage? Because
I think it was my brother-in-law, actually. He was a doctor in the Suffolk Regiment. See? And I think once he knew that I was out in France, he took steps to make some inquiries. And I think he had something to do with it. Yeah, a chap named Vivian.
The stages of you being removed from France, do you remember? How did you learn that you were going to be sent home?
The only thing that I remember was that I was ordered to the company office or the company, you know, headquarters, and they said, you're going home. I said, going home? They said, yeah, you're not old enough. Because that was very pleasant. But it wasn't very pleasant when they said, come on, you've got to go back.
You didn't want to go home?
Well, not particularly. I didn't think it was right. Excuse me. I didn't think it right that I should leave the battalion. See, but that's the way it was. Yeah.
So they sent you home by boat again, did they?
Yes. I wasn't so rough going back. Well, then they sent me to Doncaster. But I wasn't there very long, and they sent me home to work on the farm until I was of age. I think, until I was 17.
What did you think of that, being on the farm, having been at the front? Was it good to be home, or...?
Well, I'll tell you what sort of chap I was. When I got back, I think my father thought, well, he's had a go at that, he'll be quiet now. But I couldn't be quiet, you see, I'm that sort of fella. So he said, all right, well, come on, you might as well be back in there, aren't we?
Get back in the army then, George. Did you want to?
No, I didn't. But there was no option, was there? I had to go.
Because you knew what to expect this time,
yeah,
didn't you?
Naturally. Yeah. So I knew what precautions to take. And if they always volunteered, if they asked for volunteers, I was always the last one.
Right, so having gone back in the army, what happened to you then?
Sorry.
Yeah, they went on the same way.
Were you, how about your pals that you had joined up with? What had happened to them?
Well, there wasn't a great deal of alteration at that time, because, you see, there wasn't a man fighting going on. There was a lot of inconvenience and awful conditions, but there wasn't a great deal of killing. It wasn't until, well, I know I'm getting on a bit, but it wasn't until the Yanks came in and sorted them out that we made any headway.
So when you went back, that would have, if you were 17, that would have been in 1916, would it?
That's right, madam.
Yes. Would it, do you know whether it bore any relation to the Somme battle? The Battle of the Somme,
yeah,
well,
of 1916. Well, it was all around that time, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But a lot depended on chance, you see. You may have been in a position where you wouldn't be called upon, and in another instant you may be right in the thick of it. So it was a matter of luck.
Yes, I know you've explained how it's very difficult to remember the places you were at, and I can understand that, George. It was such a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But do you remember, could you tell me about your memory of a period when you were in the thick of it, during the second part when you were back? I believe you said you were still in the Ypres area, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you remember an operation that you took place in, no part in?
No, I don't think we can begin any specific situation or duty that we went through. See, a lot depended on lots of things.
What sort of things?
Well, for instance, you may be called out to do another job, you see, and something of that sort.
What other jobs would they have been? What sort of jobs?
Well, then there'd be perhaps minor raids, you see. If someone had taken a part of the trench and they'd got to be consolidated, well, you could probably be taken out of your line of business and sent there, you see. And that's how it was. But it was a queer setup in any case. Yeah.
Do you remember any very dangerous
actions?
You were, were you actually sort of in face-to-face combat?
No, I never came across any of that. Because if we didn't run away, the Germans would.
How near do you reckon you got? You know, you've explained how you're up and down the line. How near to the Germans would your trenches have ever been, do you think? How close did you ever get to the Germans?
Well, we got in one situation where you could hear the Germans talking. So, of course, we used to keep very quiet.
Now, that must have been quite close, was it?
Indeed. Extraordinary, isn't it? Well, we got so close that they could lob hand grenades across in the opposing trenches. Yeah. Well, and with the rifle brigade, you see, the rifle grenade can be fired from a rifle, which gives it another 100 yards benefit. Yeah.